Welcome to Negotiating Happiness, the show that helps you find happiness, success, and balance in your work and life. I'm Adriana Fiestro, your host for this journey into entrepreneurship and personal growth. We're broadcasting live on 107.7 and 105.3 FM in New Orleans as part of the United Public Radio Network. We explore the latest strategies, insights, and stories from successful entrepreneurs and experts. From managing stress to building a thriving business, we've got you covered. Good afternoon, everybody. This is your host, Adriana Fiestro, and you're listening to Negotiating Happiness. We're broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. If you want to sit back and relax and watch some of our shows on the network, we are also on Roku TV. Just look for the UFO Paranormal channel. Today is April 15th, 2024, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel like yesterday was January 2nd. I feel like I say this every episode now, but we are here live with another episode. It's actually episode number 42, and I'm here with Angie Ross. Hello, Angie.
Hello, Adriana. How are you? I said the same thing this morning. How is this April? But I'm here for it because the weather is coming around. So, you know, I'm all about the summer over here.
Yes, honestly, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden we kind of ditched the snow. There's this really big joke with my neighbors. I put out like my little patio set, and last time I did that, it snowed 2 days later. So I said this time, I was like, it's not happening. I'm literally leaving it there. It could snow all at once. it's staying now. So yeah, I don't know what happened, but yesterday we had a beautiful, beautiful day here. And locally, I am in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. And for anybody listening, our American friends or our European friends, come say hello. We are live. I will be sending comments as a reminder. If you guys want to let us know where you're tuning in from, that would be amazing. Or if you have any questions, I just want to do a quick intro with, about Angie and what we're going to talk about today. So buckle up, everybody. Grab your lunch, grab your coffees, and let's just dive in. So we will be talking about the anti-budget method and the profit first method and how helpful they are to business owners and just to your personal finances in general. So who is Angie? She is a certified cash flow specialist and money coach who has been spreading her expertise passionately as a financial educator for the past 18 years. She prides herself on providing unbiased, straightforward financial mentorship, allowing her clients to achieve their financial dreams without painful budgeting, which I love to hear. Angie and her husband dreamed of becoming investment property owners and successfully overhauled their personal finances in order to purchase a long-term rental property in Port Hope in Ontario. That's in Canada, in 2019. They then expanded their portfolio in 2021 through the purchase of a vacation rental in Mont-Tremblant in Quebec. And I mean, if you haven't been there, it is gorgeous. And if you like skiing, that's where you need to go. These purchases have improved their immediate cash flow and have contributed significantly to their net worth. Angie believes in helping her clients calm their cash flow chaos in order to maximize their money, whether the client's looking to eradicate debt or buy an investment property or get this on the same page as their partner. Angie can provide a customized solution. So I am super excited to have her on the show today so she can give us some little gold nuggets of advice that we can start applying ASAP. I'm all about the practical things. So Angie, take it away. What should we touch on first?
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here and thank you for that intro. And I think what I want people to take from that is like, if I can do it, you can do it. Because I was a high school teacher for many, many years. I was teaching personal finance, but we were not optimizing our money. And one of the reasons we weren't optimizing our money is because we were trying to follow a budget. And quite honestly, budgets don't work for 79% of the population. And so as
I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people.
We're in the majority. So once I learned that stat, I was actually pretty excited. I felt a lot better about myself. But realistically, what happens with budgeting is it's too restricting for most people. If you're like me, you might be a little bit defiant. When someone tells me not to do something, I'm going to do it. And so there went all my money. And so realistically, we decided to try a different method to make more with our money, because what was happening is we made good money and we were always wondering, where is it?
That's right. That's right. I can totally relate to that.
I think a lot of people are in that scenario where they're like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, but I'm making a reasonable income. So where's all my money going? And so when that started coming up, I'm like, there has to be a better way. So I created the anti-budget system, which essentially reverse engineers a budget, meaning that we care about certain things with our lives and we want to put our money towards those things first. So we want to put our money towards the things that we value first. And then whatever's left over, we can spend guilt-free. And it honestly has changed our lives. And I'm not being dramatic. We bought 2 investment properties and I got out of teaching. So when I say it's changed my life on a daily basis, it's completely overhauled my life. So really,
that's amazing. And how did you get there? Like, what was that defining point for you where you were just like, okay, enough is enough, you know, like basically paint us a picture of what your before was like.
Yeah. So I was teaching, I was feeling burnt out. I was feeling stagnant. I was teaching personal finance. My husband had a good job. I was coming home from work every day, like thinking this cannot be it. This can't be it. We didn't have a ton of debt, although lots of people do. And that's totally reasonable considering the cost out there. But we honestly were living paycheck to paycheck. If a car repair came up, it was like, uh-oh, how are we going to pay for this? When Christmas came, we had zero idea how we were going to fund that. And so it was all of these, let's call it kind of whammies, that would hit us and prevent us from getting ahead. And so one day I was fed up with my job mostly is what really got us thinking about how we could do more with our money. And I said to my husband, there has to be a better way than this because we make good money and we need to be utilizing it and putting it towards the things we care about. And right now I care about getting out of my job. So how are we going to do this? So when we analyzed our money, we found $2,000 a month that we were spending on crap that we actually didn't care about and didn't value. So once we found that, that's basically half of my take-home pay as a teacher. So I was able to go part-time in teaching while I built my business up, teach people how to use the anti-budget method. And now I'm full-time doing the money coaching. And of course, along the way, we picked up some investment properties, which the Mont Blanc investment property has completely changed our lives. So it's the one that amazing. I'm most proud of that one because we get to take our friends and our family. We get to enjoy it. We get to use it. It's on a golf course. I'm a golf addict. So it's pretty nice. And then of course it's near the ski hill and my husband loves the skiing. So it's not like just investment from a money perspective. It's an investment in your lifestyle. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. And just to tune in here, we're also streaming on Instagram, everybody. So if you want to drop in your questions and comments and to say hello, we are on Instagram as well. And I just see the We Network Canada, the ladies at We Network Canada says, hi, we're tuning in from Toronto. Hello, everybody at the We Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. I can see a lot of people are joining. So I know that finances are sometimes, you know, taboo to talk about, but I think as women in business, we need to bust through that because until we did that, we didn't see quite a bit, you know, we didn't see any shift in even as employees in getting paid fairly. So let's just get over that taboo thing. Start populating your questions in the comments because Angie has a wealth of knowledge and, you know, and there is no such thing as a stupid question or a comment because we're here to help. So thank you everybody for tuning in everywhere.
Awesome. I love what you just said about money being taboo. Mm-hmm. I was presenting at a wedding show yesterday. And one of the things I told the newly engaged couples was people are 7 times more likely to talk about sex than money. It's crazy to me. It's mind blowing. And realistically, you don't learn about things unless you talk about them. And so I've been really lucky to have some money mentors, I would say. So my mom has been really instrumental in opening up the lines of communication around money. And I think if you don't have a money mentor or someone you feel comfortable asking the questions for, you should really look for someone. And you don't want to talk, like ask questions to someone that's making you feel intimidated. You want to ask questions to someone who's going to be happy to share their knowledge with you, because the better off that we all are, the better off the world is, if I'm being honest. So it's really important.
It's been proven that, I mean, again, I'm not knocking on anybody. I'm just looking at what's worked in the past, what could be working in the future. We have a lot of leadership skills and we tend to empathize with a lot more people, and which make us better leaders or better managers. So if you feel more comfortable with a female mentor, or, you know, or maybe you, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's somebody that is somebody trusted in your life, you should be opening up those conversations, because like you said, if you don't ask, you don't know. And when you're assuming wrong a lot of the times, because we're not born with this information. We're not born knowing exactly how to run our business or how to run our lives. And it's funny that you even say you were teaching financial education. We were never taught anything. I mean, I grew up in a fairly privileged area. I'm not afraid to say that, right? And there was zero financial education. And funny enough, like, I love my parents. I've learned so many good things about my parents, and they're very supportive people by nature, and as parents, even more so for me and my brother. But I remember having this conversation with them as an adult to say, you know what? I really wish you guys had put more emphasis in education around money. And they were kind of stunned, because I don't even think it crossed their minds that there had to be some sort of specific, you know, lesson. Or, I mean, they did the normal, like, you know, budget your money, pay your bills on time, but that's not what makes it actually work day to day. So even if you're not thinking about it, even if you have kids, I mean, I know I talk a lot about parenting sometimes, talk to your kids about money, talk about investing. Saving money is no longer as effective as it once was, maybe in the 80s, right? Yeah. 80s, 90s, whatever it is. But you tell me, this is just my personal opinion.
Yeah. First of all, I love what you said. Talk to your kids about money. People are still afraid to talk to their kids about money. It doesn't mean you go in and show them like your T4 or your taxes.
No.
You're not going there, right? No. But you're talking to them about the value of money, and you're also going to teach them how to care about it, because they are inundated. Like, I have a 13-year-old and I'm getting all the TikTok, you know, I want this from Sephora because she's watching TikTok, or I want this, and can you please buy me this, and can we get that? And there's very little understanding of the value of money, yeah, and how expensive, yeah, those things really are. And so I started that works really well with kids. I started doing this for back to school. So a few years ago, I decided I was going to give her cash for back to school spending. So I actually set a dollar value that I was happy with. I passed her the money. It was $300. Passed her the money and said, that's what you get. And when it's gone, it's gone. I'm not going to tell you you can't buy something, but I'm not giving you an extra penny. So go on with your money and do your thing. Crazily enough, it was our best back to school shopping experience, because usually she would be begging me for something, right? I'd be waving the Visa card and she'd be begging me for more, and we'd have our conflict. This time she went shopping, she paid for things. And one really key moment, she bought a pair of jeans from Garage, because everybody's buying those. It was $80. She paid with cash. And then we were not even like 2 minutes down the mall hallway, and she turned around and said, can we take these back? I think I can get a cheaper pair at H&M. And I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Those are the best parenting moments, right? When you don't have to say anything and the light bulb comes on and you're like, whoa, that was very effective. So give it a try.
Cash method. I've used the cash method before, and it's really great when you have the flow. I find that once you go into your kind of like what you were describing before as your oopsies, or you're like, like the car needs something, then I just dip into whatever the cash is like in the envelopes. I do have actually like a little binder with like the slits, and it worked really great until I needed a large sum of money. So if you don't have that problem, I think definitely cash is the way to go. And we've just forgotten how easily you can spend this money, because even with your debit Visa, you just tapping away. You're not even putting in a PIN anymore. It's so easy. So it's gone, right? So I definitely think that method would work. How would you apply that for some of these businesses that don't necessarily deal with cash all the time? Like, what would your practical tip be?
Like, if you are going to purchase something and they won't take cash, or if you're a business owner?
If you're a business owner, and let's say, you know, like, I don't often go to the bank to take out cash, right?
I don't think cash is appropriate necessarily for businesses. I usually suggest it for personal spending, because typically business spending is a lot larger on scale. You don't want to be holding like big wads of cash in your pocket, or maybe you do if you're a high roller, but you know, whatever, you're walking around these big wads of cash. So I don't necessarily think it's safe or practical. Right. And I'm all about practical. For business owners, I like to suggest the profit first method. And what that does is it actually divides your money into different plates, or different categories. So you bring your revenue in, and then depending on your revenue amount And so if it was from zero to 250,000, we use percentages to allot how much should go towards each thing. And so in that case, right, if you're making zero to 250,000, the suggested percentage is 30% for operating expenses. So essentially what you're doing is every dollar you make, 30% should go towards your expenses. And if you're spending more than that, you're most likely in cash flow trouble. And that's how they look at that. You also, in that case, would be paying yourself 50%, which is pretty nice because I know some business owners that work a heck of a lot of hours and definitely are not paying themselves appropriately. And the problem with that is you're not going to keep doing that year after year after year after year.
You burn out. Exactly. Yeah, you burn out.
And you need that money, right, as well to live as a business owner.
I mean, have you seen what groceries are like these days, right? I can't even just, you know, fathom what the next year is going to bring. But I'd like to go back to what you said about 30%. That is something that I guess most people, they never get told this when they start opening up a business. But if your expenses are more than 30% of what you're bringing in, and I'm talking like net, I guess, right? Like not
top line revenue.
No HST. Yeah. No HST, no anything else. Because I often have to do these little audits in people's small businesses where we look at where resources are going, because a lot of the times people will come to me to say, I need help with marketing, but I don't have a budget for it. And I'm thinking, right, you don't have a budget for it because you're putting it all in XYZ. That's not actually, there's no ROI on that. And you're barely using it, or hey, you're paying for all these, you know, subscriptions that end up having a lot of crossover in the abilities of what they do. So it, and they're not even connected. Right. So it, I end up doing a lot of those audits, and it's very apparent to me that people don't understand what their percentage of expenses should be for a business. Now, when you're saying, you know, some people pay themselves 50%, and you're thinking, oh, total sales, I cannot live off 50%, so I need more. Great. So then keep your expenses down, save for your taxes, and have what, you know, but another thing that people forget about is they don't put aside anything for development. So for future development. So how are you going to increase that revenue is by investing back in your business. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm all about investing back in your business, but you said something really key, which was return on investment. Mm-hmm. So I oftentimes business owners, and I've been there, so this is not judgmental, but we're looking for that next thing. That next thing, right? That's going to get us to the next level of revenue. Oh, this program is going to be the thing. I haven't finished the last one that I bought, or I haven't implemented the last one that I bought. Right. And so I think sometimes it's looking for that quick fix that gets us into trouble as a business owner versus actually taking a look at what is going to provide us with that return on investment, because that is what we want to focus our money on. The other thing I do want to say is when they take 50% home, they don't have to pay tax on that. The business, we've saved 15% for tax as well. So in the profit first method, it's 50%. Direct into your bank account, 30% operating expenses, 15% taxes. That's not HST. That should already be saved on the side because that's not your money, unfortunately.
Yes.
So 15% for taxes, and then there's a 5% for profit. And the profit idea is that once a quarter, you should go and celebrate with that little profit amount that you have because you're working your rear end off in business. And as a business owner, you're taking the risk and you should have the ability to actually celebrate that as well.
I'm making notes, Angie. I'm not even kidding you right now. I'm making notes to be able to start practicing some of these things because I want anybody to think that like I know what I'm saying because I just know. No, it's because I've gone through this and I've hit my head against a wall a bunch of times. And I'm also not great at saving for taxes. And I've been there where I have not saved for HST either, even though I fully know that is not my money. So don't feel bad. Don't feel shame. No. Money is supposed to be coming to you to make your life easier, not to make your life more stressful. But obviously that just comes with the territory. Sometimes you just have to approach it like different, switch your mindset. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Get back up on that horse. Try again. You know what I mean?
I agree. And business ownership is hard. Business ownership is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. And so I think though, if you have a cash flow system and Profit First, it's a book. Like I didn't create this. So if you're interested, go check out the book. I do help people implement it, but so a lot of people can do it themselves by reading the book, to be honest.
Sure.
And if you go and take a look at that book, it gets you into a system. And once you have a system for your cash flow, it's going to help you to even out those bad times as well, because we all know in business, you're going to go through those ups and downs. Yeah. If you have a system, it can really help you survive those down times.
Yes. And I love that you're working with percentages, because as a business owner, you're not always getting the same amount, you know, through the door every month. So this is really helpful to know, even if it's like a, you know, not so great of a month, you can still put away 5%. Even if that's the 5% of almost nothing, that's still 5% of something. So I love that. What would you say to people that, for example, they're not starting fresh, they're trying to clean up what they've, like, I mean, hi, nice to meet you. I'm trying to clean up the way that I've been running my business for the past, you know, X amount of years. Where would you start first? Because obviously it's not that easy to try and implement this all at once.
I agree. So I personally believe that you have to work on your personal finances first, because this is really important. Even for business owners, you need to know the amount of expenses that you have to cover on the personal side. And then once you figure out your personal expenses, hey, it's going to inform what you need to make in your business using the profit first system. Because right. Unfortunately, and I'm very blunt, unfortunately, some people are running their businesses and they're simply not bringing in enough revenue to cover their personal expenses. Right. And unfortunately, there's nothing that I can do for that. You have to find another stream of revenue or increase your revenue in some way. But it's nice to have that number. So, you know, this is kind of my base level. And if I'm able to hit this base level, I can cover all of my personal expenses. So when working with you, we actually have an analyst that goes over 4 months worth of personal expenses. And when I'm working with business owners, oftentimes we don't even look at the income so much. We're looking at the expenses and then we're reverse engineering and saying, okay, that means you need to make X amount per month on average to cover yourself. It's quite eye-opening. And a lot of times it will help people make choices based on what they're going to provide for their services. Okay, maybe I need to change how I'm providing these services. So it's very good information for the business owner. And then what I would do, so you want to do the personal analysis first. And then what I would do is you start to set up the systems. And in the book, he does talk about this a little bit. You may not be able to put 5% profit away right away. If you have debt you're paying off within your business, you may be putting 1% profit away until you can work your way into a scenario where you can put it away. So it's a sequential step-by-step scenario. I think the most important thing is really assessing those operating expenses though, because if you don't have 5% profit to put away, it's probably because your operating expenses are out of whack and over that 30%. So we analyze those as well. That's usually what we're looking at, is those expenses.
Right. Or your personal expenses are just taking so much out of the business that you can't plan properly. 100%. Speaking from experience. So, and it's hard. It's so hard to talk about money these days. I mean, it was hard before too, but now it's like, how do you tell people to curb down on their expenses when, you know, a carton of eggs is like $6-$7, right? So it's really hard to try and get that down. Now, this is when people are like, well, you just have to budget. But like, yeah, okay, maybe at first you have to just cut down on whatever isn't necessary or, you know, for right now. But after that, you want to move away from that type of budget, because it feels restricting. It's kind of like, what am I working all these hours for if I can't even enjoy a little bit? Well, you will be able to once the planning starts working for you, right?
I want to take it back for a second, because you talked about those whammies like hitting you and that you had good cash and then the whammies would hit you. I think that's what gets most people, including business owners, including just regular employees or whomever, because we don't put them into our anti-budget or our cash flow plan. And then they come up and we act like they're a surprise. Well, Christmas is not a surprise, like it happens every year. And so, and listen, I used to do exactly the same thing. But now I'm saving for it on a monthly basis versus waiting until December, racking it up on my credit card because I'm a last minute shopper. Yeah, and then in January, getting the bill and being like, what happened? And so now I put away $250 a month for Christmas. When Christmas comes, because I'm a Christmas addict, sorry, right here. and then when Christmas comes, the money's sitting in my account. And now I'm like, whoa, it feels powerful. It did not impact my December cash flow at all. And what have I done? I've evened out those stressful times. So it's really great to have a plan, and the anti-budget does that, where you can honestly set aside money. I call them life jacket funds, because I say they prevent people from sinking. And so sinking financially. And so I have a whole bunch of life jacket funds. And honestly, I just planned a trip to Kelowna and New York in May and June, because I opened my life jacket fund for vacation and I was like, ooh, there's 10 grand here. And I didn't even feel it leaving, because honestly, it's been a process
amazing.
Of automatically contributing. And so people can be in the same situation, but we have to realize those whammies are actually not emergencies. We need to build them into our plan. So that's
right, one of my exactly. And that's when the discipline comes.
It is. And I just use automatic contribution. So like, honestly, it automatically leaves my account. I can't spend it now. It's in another account. It's over at the side. I just did a car repair last week. It was very expensive. And guess what? The money was sitting there. So no stress. We had the money to pay for it. And honestly, that's the cash flow system. And my husband laughs, because I'm the last person. I don't even like systems. I hate rules. And because it's automated, it works so well, because I don't have to go in and do it, and I don't have to stop myself from spending that money. It's automatically saved.
Right. I have a question here from the We Network Canada on Instagram, and they're asking, what book are you referring to? Can you clarify for everybody?
Yes, it's called Profit First, and the author's name is Mike McCallowitz. How do I spell that? Nobody knows.
Let's Hold on here. I'll paste it in the comments for everybody. I'll paste it in the comments. Yeah.
Perfect. And honestly, great book for any business owner, small business. If you're just getting started, amazing. I've had so many people say, oh, I'm just getting started. I don't need to do this yet. No. This is the best time to do it, is to implement the Profit First system right when you're getting started. But it's also great for fully established businesses as well.
Yes.
Highly recommend. Okay. Highly recommend.
Here is, I'm putting it in the comments on Instagram and also on every other channel that we're on. I have the, and we're not sponsored or affiliated. This is just a book recommendation for everybody.
I love that you said that too, because I'm an unbiased independent money coach. So anything that I suggest, I don't provide an affiliate link. I'm not selling, right. Like I could, sure, maybe it's silly of me, but I want people to know when I'm actually referring to something or suggesting something, it's because it is good content and I actually really stand behind it. And so Profit First, go take a read. And honestly, as a business book, it's not that bad. Sometimes business books, I read like two pages, the ADD, and I'm like, nope. In the fireplace, but this one,
find it on Audible, guys, find it on Audible, make your life a little bit easier. That's the only way I can get to reading anything these days, just because I don't have time, but find it on Audible. It's definitely worth the, like, I think $10-$15 subscription, especially if you need to like drive places, or I highly recommend, again, not affiliated with Audible. Although if they want to sponsor me, I'm okay with that.
Why not?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to be an affiliate to kind of like push every sale or whatever the case may be. But if they want to sponsor our show because they find value in us in the audience, I'm totally fine with that. So this is really great that, you know, you're providing these resources so that people can kind of go and try and see if they can do it on their own. And if not, that's why people like you exist. That's why people like me exist, with platforms. Like, you can definitely DIY platforms, but a lot of the times it's very overwhelming on top of running a business or trying to get your personal finances in check. I'm still struggling with getting my personal finances in check. So it's no shame to anybody. You know, my mortgage is for this property is fairly new. It's only a couple months old. So this happens, guys. The things happen in our lives where we just need to recalibrate and we need to do another audit of things. And you can just start back from basics. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're a lost cause. You're not.
No, I think everybody struggles with money at some point. I would say 95% of the population is struggling with money and they're not talking about it. And so that's why I like to be a soft place to land. I am not judgmental in this process at all. Again, I've been through it. Like, we were wasting $2,000 a month. So, and I'm open about that, although my husband might not love that, but that's what's happening. So I just tell it like it is. And I'm like, but look what you can do. If you can reel that in, look at all the things that you could accomplish. So
exactly.
It's really important for people to drop that shame and guilt, because if that's standing in your way of getting help or learning more, you're just not going to progress, and it can change your life. When you change your finances, it can change your life for the positive.
That's right. That's right. This is kind of a natural break here. Let's do a quick intro for anybody that's tuning in just now. We're halfway here. So you are listening to Negotiating Happiness, and I'm Adriana Fierastro, your host. And we are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. And I'm here with Angie Ross, and she is a certified money coach.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm having my own issues over here, trying not to sneeze. Sorry, guys. We're talking about Profit First. And previously we were talking about anti-budgeting method. And we had some book recommendations. If you guys want to tune in later, we've also posted some comments. I'm going to be posting some links too, if you want to check out Angie and what she does. And also she gives out free advice on Instagram. So if you guys want to go and follow her on Instagram, I will post her at right now, so that you can follow her there. And also, if you guys want to listen to some more of the shows, please don't forget to follow or subscribe or whichever platform you're in, because my goal is to bring in all of these, you know, smart experts and, you know, just all around nice and knowledgeable people that can teach us how to run a business a little bit easier, right? So here we go. I'm just posting out your link for Angie. Yeah.
While you're doing that, I'll just mention I'm also running a free anti-budget workshop on May the 9th on Zoom at 7. And so same, we talked about this. Where would I start with my finances? That's where I would start, learning what the anti-budget is. And then I give you a template for you to fill in your own numbers as well. And so in that workshop, I like to leave people with something they can actually do, because I've been to so many workshops where I leave and I'm like, that was great, and then I never do anything about it. So with the anti-budget workshop, I also give you that template that you can go and use right away if you so desire. So join me May 9th on Zoom, and I'll be posting about that on my Instagram as well.
Yes. So I've attended one of your webinars, and it was very interesting to see all kinds of people, whether this was for their personal finances or small businesses, all kinds of people were there. So it's not limited to just entrepreneurs. And the one thing that stuck out to me, that it makes sense, there's lots of common sense around it, obviously, but this is what kind of moved the needle for me, is you talked a lot about, fixed expenses and the other kinds of expenses. So when you lump everything together, that's when things tend to kind of go off to the side. Yeah, they kind of go haywire, because you're not understanding. It's like, okay, but there's some things that I just cannot change. And that's what you kind of have to cover first. And then you look at, because we do this when we audit things too. It's like, okay, what is absolutely necessary for you to run your business? It's the same thing. Those are going to be fixed expenses. Your business does not exist without those. Same thing with your personal finances, you know, like mortgage, water, you know, all of those things that you cannot live there. So you can't change those, but you might be able to change, you know, subscriptions to things or your gym membership type or something, right? So when you are looking to cut down on things, it is very obvious. It makes sense to sort of things you have no control over, but the way that you explained it and the way that you have it on your sheet made sense to me. So I have no doubt that it's going to make sense for a lot of people that are attending this, and it is a free webinar. So where did you say exactly that people can go?
Yeah, they can come to see me on Instagram, and it's in my link in my bio to sign up, but it's going to be a Zoom workshop. So they register via Zoom, and there is a replay as well that I send it the next day. So just in case someone cannot make it. But yeah, there's a link there for the Zoom. And I love what you just said, because oftentimes what happens when people are working with me, they come in and they're worried about the things they can't control. And so again, that's basically what you just said. Everyone's worried about those fixed expenses. unless you're going to sell your house and move, unless you're going to sell your car, which you can do. And sometimes people need to, but that's not typically what the response is. Then we need to look at those things that we can control. And when you do that, you actually feel like you have more control over your money in general. Because if you're just worried about your mortgage and whether he's going to drop interest rates, you have no control unless you know TIFF, the Bank of Canada governor, and you can like somehow slide him a 50 to drop the interest rates. You're not going to have any control, right? So let's work on the things that we can actually do something about. I have a funny story.
It's not happening.
Actually, he was
it's not happening, and he won't be doing it for a 50.
No.
Ooh.
I have a story about him.
Tell me. Tell me everything.
When I was teaching personal finance at the high school, he was starting to raise the rates. And so every day before the announcement, I would get my students to tweet him. And so we would be like, TIFF, please don't raise the rates, like little prayer hands. TIFF. So he got a million tweets from my students, like begging him to not raise interest rates. It was hilarity. And I give them a little bonus mark. Like they get their phones out and tweet him. I give them a little bonus mark. It was amazing. So fun. But he still rose the rates. So yeah, apparently.
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, it's really great that you tried. I love it.
Right. But again, you can't do it. You can't control it. Why are we stressing over it? Let's look at the things that we can actually do something about.
Yeah. No, for sure. I'm just thinking like how, what can you do about it? It's like you said, you probably don't, unless you are a policymaker, unless you are there, you can't really do anything about it. But what you can do is make better choices or better financial choices. And sometimes I feel like we just rely too much on the advice that used to be given to our parents. And unfortunately, we don't live in the same economy. We don't have the same, you know, cost of living. I'm sure as a financial person, you've seen some of the calculations that that have been done, you know, and how some generations are complaining that their interest rates were a lot higher, not understanding how either inflation works or how our salaries have grown over the past little while. Do you have any comments on what these? Oh, you do. Great.
I love that you brought this up because I absolutely cry inside with all the judgment that gets put onto the younger generation. A lot of judgment about spending and money and all the things, and also about buying a house. This one is a pet peeve of mine. I just worked with a client and we did her cash flow. She worked with me and I analyzed her cash flow, and we actually presented her two scenarios. One was if she continued to rent, and one was if she bought. And she actually was about to put an offer in on a specific house in Peterborough, Ontario. So she was like in it, like looking at houses, all the things. And when we looked at her cash flow, she was going to be worse off by more than $1,000 a month if she bought the house. Plus, that didn't even include maintenance. So if she had to do the roof, if she had to do any of those things. So we started talking about it, and I asked her, because money's not just math.
Right.
People think it's just math. It's not just math. But I said, why do you want to own a house? And her answer was that her parents kept telling her she was throwing her money away by renting. And I'm like, well, actually, if you take the $1,000 extra a month and you put it in an investment, you're going to be better off financially than if your house were to grow by X amount. We ran all the numbers. And realistically, you don't have to pay maintenance.
Yeah.
You have a landlord that's going to come over and fix things, which she really liked. She didn't want to do a lot of the upkeep. And so once we talked about it, she realized she could still be financially stable by renting and doing investments on the side instead of owning the house herself. And so she made the decision not to buy the house. Everyone wants to apply the same advice to everybody. And that's not how it works. You want to do your cash flow and figure out how it's going to work for you.
Right.
So I just find that.
Right. And it also depends. Sorry, it's lagging here, guys, with the tech, but I was just going to say, it also depends on, you know, how your financial situation changes. So you're making a decision that, you know, buying a house is a long-term decision. What if you're at a stage in your life where maybe you could, but what if your life changes drastically in the next 2 years? You're still stuck. You're still in with the same expenses. So it's not always the better choice, right?
It isn't. And I think that you bring up a really good point. She was looking to move to Peterborough because she could afford Peterborough, but she lives in the Durham area. Right. I'm like, do you want to move to Peterborough? She's like, I don't really know. I'm like, okay, so now you're going to put down a whole whack of money in a place that you're not sure you even like, because your parents are making you feel bad about renting. I'm like, I really think that the decision-making needs to be more in line with cash flow and your lifestyle versus advice we're getting from the older generation. Because even myself, I got into the market at a good time and I know it. It was timing. If I went to buy my house now, I couldn't afford it. So do I think it's because I'm amazing and like, it's just that I did everything right? No, it was timing. No. Right. So some of our advice needs to be a little more appropriate for what's actually going on right now.
Or custom, or understand that just because you did it one way, it doesn't mean that everybody has to do it that way. Right. I completely agree with that. And it's funny because, you know, my parents own a home. I own a home now. My brother doesn't own a home. And he just, you know, he started his job as an engineer. I mean, he's educated. He technically has a really good job. His girlfriend has a good job too. And they're not able to afford a house. So they have to make decisions based on the fact that they cannot afford to either, even when they have a down payment, then there's mortgages and then there's, you know, expenses on top of it. So what is, you know, what is the best thing for him to do? Well, like you said, do an audit, see where your resources are going. How could you improve this? And investing has changed a lot of people's lives. So, and it's so funny because I think investing is such a scary word for a lot of people, but they don't realize that you could literally just start with like $100. You can just start really small.
Start young and start small. It's your age. It's a huge difference as well. The earlier you can get into it, the better you're going to be.
Exactly. And people just tend to shy away from it. But I do believe that his generation, so I guess he's Generation Z, right? Yeah. Generation Z, his generation is a little bit more open with that stuff. And I feel like they're a lot less preoccupied with what, like me, my generation, the millennials are, you know, we're kind of like, it's so funny, and I'm not saying this because I'm part of this generation, but I feel like we were beaten down because we liked avocado toast for so long and that we liked, do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, well, technically that, like, I don't know, $7 breakfast isn't going to make it for me. If I can't afford a house, I can't afford a house. That's not how math works, right? It's so hard to undo all the bad advice you've ever been given in your life to say, listen, saving isn't working like it used to work. And I'll tell you why, because we definitely spend more than 50% of our paycheck on expenses and on fixed expenses. Whereas our parents or grandparents, whoever, did not have necessarily the same situation. They were able to put money away, right? That's just not the case these days for most of us, right?
No, most of us don't have that kind of disposable income. And I want to just tell you right now, just so that you feel a little bit better, I am not a millennial. I don't even know what the next one up is, but that's me. And my favorite clients are millennials. And there's a couple of reasons why. I actually find millennials have been really great at wanting the help and wanting the mentorship, and they're open for the help, and they can see the benefits of getting someone to like lead them through.
Yes.
You do. Yeah. I find that definitely you guys have been given a bad rap. And if you look at when you've been kind of growing up and trying to buy houses and all this, the economy has not been in your favor. So,
I mean, like, this is like our second recession. So like,
yes. And in Canada, the housing prices are crazy. So I think that people need to actually put themselves in your shoes and be like, wait, what would we have been like in that scenario? It's tough.
Right.
It's tough out there.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear the validation from you as an expert, because I always laugh when I see the memes and I'm just like, if I don't laugh, I cry. So like, I got to pick one or the other. Right.
Yeah. And you know what? I always find that you guys want to learn, like the people I find, maybe it's because I'm a little bit older, so I'm more like a mentor to you. But sometimes when I get, you know, older clients or whatever, they're a little more stubborn in their ways too. But most of the younger millennials are like, what should I do? Give me some advice. What would you do? And I'm like, this is awesome. Very open to learn.
Yes. Yes. Because we have to, and we have to adapt. And I'm really glad that we are flexible that way. And also I think we're also the generation that, how do I juxtapose this? So we grew up with the internet. Mm-hmm. So we know that not everything valuable is tangible. So mm-hmm. I always think that that's what made us value services more, because I mean, I used to work at a law firm before this, and there was a lot of back and forth with clients sometimes over the bills, because the bills are fairly large. Legal work is expensive. And a lot of the times people don't feel like they've been given what they want because, you know, either the outcome was different, which there's nothing that the lawyers can do about, right? If you're in front of a judge or XYZ, or there's nothing tangible for them to hold on to say, I paid all this money for this. Like, it's not like a house or, I don't know, something right. tangible. So I think millennials, they figured out that value comes from a lot more than that. It's people's time, right? It's mm-hmm. people's time and knowledge that you're paying for. So like, I'm really glad to hear that you're having those experiences, because I myself think, you know, I'm always looking to say, okay, what can I invest in that will help me further myself into that? And a lot of the times it's people like yourself and your services that can help me do whatever I want to do that is a service of value rather than something tangible. Like, I'm pretty sure my computer is dying and I should be investing in a computer, but I was like, it's fine. I just buy another course because this is going to help me get better. You know what I mean? So I'm glad to hear that kind of feedback.
Yeah. And I want to like actually take it one step further. I think millennials value their time as well. And so they're willing to often invest in something yeah. that's going to save them time and get yeah. them further ahead a little bit quicker. Because a lot of times when I'm working with a lot of millennial couples right now. And the idea is, oh, if we build this financial plan, we're going to see this pay off over the next 10, 20, 30 years together. Yes. And realistically, is it worth the investment up front? Yeah. The return on investment back to that idea is yes. going to be huge, right? And I think that that's a much easier conversation to have, interestingly enough, with your age group than some of the older age groups who maybe don't yes. see that quite as easily. So
it also depends on how flexible you are with change. I feel like millennials have gone through a lot of change in their lives and they're kind of just waiting for the next thing to hit. Whereas maybe some of the older generations, they've had the more stable economy. And honestly, I probably would have preferred the more stable economy, but at least we get some really good transferable skills out of this that we can add to the yeah. resume.
Absolutely. And I think the main point here is people need to stop ragging on millennials. They're like doing what they can, right?
We're it's trying.
I love all types of people, but let's not, you know, give them such a hard time. Let them have their yeah. avocado toast in peace. You know,
I know. The one thing we can't afford a house. Okay. So we can at least have some avocado toast or, exactly. or Starbucks drink, whatever the next thing is that whatever we're doing wrong. Is. So yeah,
love
whatever
it.
The next thing is. So we've got a couple minutes left and I usually like to do at the end, I want to wrap up with just like, I want you to tell me what makes this whole entrepreneurship thing worth it for you, because we know that there's ups and downs all the time. And I'm not talking about like, obviously you like to help people and you get, you know, satisfaction out of that. I'm talking about Angie as the individual, not Angie as the mom, the wife, that like what fuels your soul? I want to know about it.
Okay. I love that you said, don't talk about how you love helping people. Yeah, no, like, sure. I love helping people, but I also
am
a person and I need to be worried about myself as well.
Yes.
For me, it's the flexibility. I like the flexibility of being my own boss. I kind of brought this up earlier. I'm a little defiant. So like, if I think someone is like my boss and telling me what to do, and especially if I think maybe they don't even know what they're talking about, then it gets kind of iffy. So being my own boss, I can kind of run my own thing, which really I'm independent. So I love that about it. I also love, like, it's given me flexibility. In March, I was on vacation for 3 out of 4 weeks in March. I can never.
You can't beat that.
No,
you can't beat that. No.
For 2 weeks in Myrtle Beach. I was in Mont Tremblant at our Airbnb. And then this does have a little bit to do with being a mom, but when my daughter's 13, but a few years ago when I was teaching, I couldn't go to any of her school stuff. I couldn't just kind of be around. Yeah. I had no choice. And now it just gives me, again, that independence and the flexibility of choice to, if I want to take a day off and go on her school field trip, I'm not doing that, by the way. It's crazy. I'm not volunteering on her school field trip. But let's say I wanted to. I could, right?
I love how real you are. I love it.
I'm not doing that. I don't want to be around everybody else's kid. Now, I'll go to her volleyball games, right? Which is awesome, and watch her play volleyball. But I'm not putting myself on a bus with elementary kids for 8 hours. No thanks. Right. But yeah, I think it just gives you that, again, it's, you're living life on your terms and you're making the decisions, and it's very freeing.
I love that. I can relate to a lot of that. And again, entrepreneurship is not easy at all. But some of these things definitely make it worth it, right? Especially if you have kids. And even if you don't have kids, maybe you want to go golfing, then you can, right? And you can plan it so that you can. It, just like you're planning your financial future, you can plan your schedule, you can plan everything. When it feels like you can't, like you're overwhelmed, which I've gone through those periods of burnout, that's when you know you need help and you need to basically untangle everything. And it's funny because I do a lot of that too with some of my clients, where we look at how do we run this business efficiently, but also like, how do we just let you live? You're a person. Like, how about you take some vacation, right? Like, I'll be here so you can go away. It's the same thing. It's kind of like, how do you balance everything? And that it can be shown in this whole, you know, like money conversation as well. It's the exact same thing. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So you've got your golf, you've got your vacation, you've got your flexibility. Is there anything else that fuels your soul?
There's a lot of things that fuel my soul. I think because my personal story of using, I get to tell my personal story of how we actually maximize our money. And I'm not trying to brag when I say we have investment properties. We're regular people, but it's like, hey,
but it's proof. It's proof. It's social proof in marketing. It's social proof, right? So I get that. I don't think it's bragging. You know what I actually hate? And I'm sorry if anybody listening does this. This is just my personal opinion. I hate when we do the whole how to reach 10K every month, or how I'm making 30K every month doing this one easy thing for 3 hours a day. And I'm just like, this is so unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like that I can't get on board with, but I can get on board with concrete proof that works over time. And again, we're so focused on instant gratification that we forget that a lot of these things that you have achieved with your spouse are things that you both worked at, that you had a plan for, there was ups and downs, and it took time.
I love everything that you just said, because instant gratification is going to kill your finances.
Downfall.
Yeah, it's a huge downfall. Yeah. And for me, it was killing my finances and it was killing my husband's finances. And so once we reeled that in, huge difference.
Yeah. And I mean, those posts might be great because you do get, I do think that some of those stories are true, but a lot of them, I think they're just piggybacking on somebody else's achievements, or they talk about them as if they're practical and real, but they're actually just theoretical. So it hasn't happened yet, or it happened on a much smaller scale, just to kind of sucker you in to like engage with the post, or to say, I want to give you my money to help me do that. That's not what we're about here in this community. And I just wanted to make that very clear that it's important to be authentic, especially if you offer services that are based on time and expertise, knowledge, like you've invested in your methods in order to be able to help other people. And that is valuable because that's what they're paying you for. Not for, because I could do it myself too and muddle through it for the next 10 years, but it's not going to be the same outcome.
I love that. And I think that you're right. Oftentimes when I'm investing in an expert, that return on investment is paying for itself over and over and over again. And I love the, just the whole idea that, well, first of all, I'm kind of no BS. Like, it is what it is. I just told you I wouldn't go on my kids' like field trip. Like, I'm just, all the moms in the neighborhood are like, oh. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm not saying. And so I think it's the same thing with your money. I'm going to be no BS with you. I know you're no BS with your clients. It's like, this is just what we have to do, and this is the truth. And if you follow the system, you're going to get the results that you want.
Like, that's what you're paying me for, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're, if I'm giving you fluff, then it doesn't do anything for you. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes people need to be approached differently, and I'm okay with that. But I'm never going to be like, yeah, sure, let's cut this corner and hope for the same results, because that's just not realistic. And with that being said, again, I am no expert in any of the stuff. I'm currently learning myself too. So I just want to open up the conversation to be like, I'm not speaking from up here. I'm speaking from way down here. Kind of like a do as I say, not as I do sometimes. because I understand.
Well, and I, but you know what? Me too. That's why it's effective what I'm doing, because again, mm-hmm. I've been there. And I think that if it was someone who was like, oh, my parents gave me $5 million. Let me be your money coach. Oh, sure. Yeah. Like you don't relate to me. Right. And so that's the thing, like my husband and I, as a couple have done this, and so many people are like, they relate to us and they're like, wow, you were a teacher. How did you do that? I get that question all the time. Right. And I'm like, this is how I did it. Right. And it's, I don't think it's meant, they're not meaning to like insult me. They're meaning to be like, wow, how did you get up with those resources?
No, so because it's like, a very real job. It's a very real situation to be in, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, we have come to an end here. Thank you so much, Angie, for coming in. I think we could talk about this for 10 more hours if we have the time. So definitely come back on. And everybody check out the free webinar. We're having some technical difficulties. I just wanted to say thank you so much for everybody that tuned in, and Angie for coming on. I've posted all of the links in the comments, so if you guys want to click on that, go right ahead. And big thank you to the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, and thank you for allowing us to have this platform. We will see everybody next week, and Angie, please come back to see us.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you so much. Had a great time.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.